Welcome back to As If podcast with Lisa Ferral. So first and foremost, I know that some of you are going to be listening to this only, and some of you are going to be watching it. So I just want to tell you that I've got my nails done and I have like hearts on one finger and on the middle finger too. And bows on one middle finger and thumb. Look at this. It's so cute. Anyway, I want to start by saying that I opened my company, IDBY, I Don't Believe You. I know it's a bit of a strange name, but it makes sense to me. I explained it on the website, but maybe someday I'll come up with a better way of explaining it. That day is not today. To celebrate, I was going to go to watch Barbie with my assistant to this VIP kind of thing, but she got the wrong tickets, like in terms of dates. So it's gonna be a while from now when we're actually gonna go. So I decided to get myself a little cake so we can have a little cake and talk, because I wanted a cake and I wanted an excuse to get a cake. That's what it is, babe. I don't know what to tell you. It's a little peach cake, white peach to be exact. And I decided to get myself a cake because I also wanted to, you know, film a podcast. And I was having a hard time talking myself into it because for some reason, starting it is always difficult for me. Starting filming in general. It's fine as soon as I start, but I have actually talked about this before, I think, on one of my lives or something like that, that I actually decided to open up a company because I started working for a startup right after I finished chemo. And it was, I believe, maybe a month after I finished chemo, I started working. And when I worked for that company, I was kind of surprised by the fact that the boss was kind of creepy. Like, he was hitting on the designer, who was also a girl my age. I think that she's maybe a year younger than me or something like that. And then he would also do kind of similar shit with me, and I just did not like him. So, and I realized that I was setting up an entire company and running an entire company for him while being paid $22 an hour. So I was like, Canadian, by the way, Canadian. If you're a US citizen, Canadian dollars are worth a lot less than US dollar. It was just not worth it. And I also realized that it's something that I can actually do. I feel like doing it for somebody else gave me an opportunity to actually see that I can do it for myself. So yeah, so I always make jokes about how creepy that man was. But in any case, today I wanted to talk about a few myths. And the way that I kind of tied it together to our conversation is Le Sserafim. So Le Sserafim is this K-pop group. I'm sure many of you heard of them. They have a song on their latest album that's called Eve, Psyche, and Bluebeard's Wife. I love that song as soon as I heard it. If you haven't heard it, you can go listen to it. But it just reminded me of an experimental club banger. And I immediately thought about how great that song would be as a party song for a Winx adaptation, you know, like kind of like a Halloween party song, or something for a Magix club or an Earth club, something like that, right? It would have been absolutely perfect. But I also thought that it would be an easy way for us to talk about a few myths and kind of chat about artworks that are connected to them. I mean, first of all, obviously Eve wanting to be what's forbidden, the forbidden fruit. I do wonder why they went with Eve and not Lilith, because yeah, like Eve did something she wasn't supposed to, so she still fits the concept of the song, because in this song all three characters are women that did not listen to what they've been told to do, and they did their own thing. So Eve ate the apple even though she was told not to. Psyche went to look at her husband's face, who was a god, and like they weren't supposed to be together because she was immortal and he was a god, but she still went to see his face. And the third one is Bluebeard's wife, his sixth wife, who was told not to open one of the rooms in the castle. She went ahead and did it and found a bunch of like 5 bodies of his previous wives because he was a serial K-word. God, the goddamn censoring that I have to constantly do just for videos to not like be wiped off the face of the earth is crazy. So she still fits the concept of a woman who's not listening to what she's been told to do, or unforgiven woman that wants something that's forbidden or whatever, right? I thought it was interesting that they chose Eve, because I would have probably chosen Lilith. Lilith was, as far as I understand, this is more of a Jewish belief that there was a first wife for Adam, who was made just like him out of soil, and she refused to submit to him, so she kind of had to like leave, and then Eve was created to replace her, right? Regardless of that, we're all familiar with the story of, you know, Adam and Eve, and the whole thing with eating the apple. And I'm just gonna move on to Psyche, and I know that Psyche and Eros or Cupid, it's a very popular myth as well, but I think that it is less talked about than Adam and Eve's whole situation, so we're gonna talk about them right now. I actually noticed that Psyche and Cupid for some reason have gotten like a lot of references in the past year in K-pop. I don't know what's going on, but there's been a lot of that. Like, I mean, it's always referenced in so many artworks. This is not, or like pieces of media. It's not something new, but at the same time, it's just strange that it happened all at the same time. So for example, first of all, I've had the whole Love Dive song, and in that song, they were all kind of like Cupids or whatever. It was something along those lines. So it was all about Cupid. And then we got Eve Psyche and Bluebeard's wife with Psyche and Eros sculpture being on the cover of the album, or not the album, the single. By the way, it's a beautiful sculpture. I think it's really, really beautiful. Then we also got NewJeans, right? So NewJeans released their song Cool With You, and their whole music video is a story of Eros or Cupid and Psyche, except they kind of gender bent it. So Cupid is a woman in that music video and Psyche is a guy. And what I'm thinking is Aphrodite or Venus. I think it's the guy who's this famous actor. I don't remember his name, but he's a very famous actor. I think he is supposed to represent Aphrodite, because Aphrodite was the one who tried to separate Psyche and Eros, the one who was kind of forbidding them to be together, right? It's just interesting that it all happened at the same time. Why were they all of a sudden referencing Cupid, specifically the myth, right? And it's kind of strange, because like I would assume that they would probably kind of adjust their concept, seeing that there's like two groups that are their direct competition that already just used the concept, but they didn't. I think it's really interesting. I wouldn't say that the concepts are the same or anything like that, as much as like it's just interesting that all of a sudden at the same time they're all referencing it. Psyche and Eros are really interesting for multiple reasons. First and foremost, this story is quite popular. And this myth is still one of those myths that had Eros as a man, as a grown person with wings, obviously, but still, like, he was presented as a man who's grown rather than a cherub, you know, or like a literal infant or a baby, you know, which is something that we're quite familiar with nowadays. And there's quite a few reasons as to why that even happened, that all of a sudden everyone was like, yeah, Cupid is not one of the main gods who's very, very powerful and is on par with all the other massive, you know, influential Greek gods. He's actually a baby, and like he can't do much but just like kind of make people crush on each other or whatever, right? Apparently this is just like a theory, obviously, just like most things when it comes to history, especially such ancient history. Patriarchy was not as bad as it became later on for the Romans, the Grecian people, right? Aphrodite as a female god, as a goddess, was kind of treated a bit differently to compare to the past. Before, she was the mother of Eros and she was kind of in charge, right? She would be able to tell him what to do. Since he was considered to be a very, very powerful god, it became kind of taboo or frowned upon that she would be so powerful and have somebody who's also extremely powerful listen to what she says and, you know, do what she says. Over time, the more patriarchy had a firm grasp on society, the more Eros was changed in terms of what he was presented as to the public. So before, he was this grown man who was super hot, you know, and everyone was lusting over him, okay? Like, that was his whole shtick. Like, he was all about fertility and all of that jazz, you know? He's a grown man. He is with Psyche, who overcomes a bunch of, like, trials or whatever just to be with him because of Aphrodite being so extra, like, just being so dramatic about everything. Because I think the way that it was presented in the myth is that she was always considered to be the most beautiful person slash goddess, and then when Psyche appeared, when she was born, everyone was kind of crazy about how hot she was or whatever. I don't know, girl. Venus slash Aphrodite was kind of not vibing with it. She did not like that. There was always that kind of crap going on. Honestly, the gods and the myths, they're always so messy and just unsympathetic. Like, it's hard to sympathize with them in general. So Psyche and Eros had a baby. Her name is Pleasure. I think it's a girl. I think it's a girl. I don't know. In any case, it's Pleasure. So that was kind of like their whole shtick, right? So Psyche is the goddess of the soul, and also she has butterfly wings. Psyche, human spirit, butterflies. She's like low-key mean. She's so meat-coated. It's just really interesting that Cupid would go from somebody who was representing such a, like, lustful kind of thing to being a literal baby, kind of mischievous and not really able to do anything, because he was actually very, very powerful in the beginning before his image was changed, to the point where he would be kind of put in line with Mars or Aries, right? It's just a little bit strange. The consensus is that, at least right now, right, in terms of what people, what kind of information people have, is that it coincides with patriarchy getting real bad for people at the time, and men being kind of unhappy with Aphrodite having that much influence over a very powerful god. So they decided to make him into a baby that can't do shit but just, like, cause inconveniences for people, kind of, you know? This week has been quite strange in terms of disappointing things when it comes to public figures. And, I mean, we already all saw, like, a million videos about it, but I wanted to talk about something that wasn't as popular in terms of people talking about it, which was the thing that kind of disappointed me, and it is the pickpocket lady. I don't know if you know her, but there was this there's this TikTok account that went quite viral, I would say, with videos of this woman who would film people who are trying to steal from people on the streets. I think it's like in Venice or something like that. I don't know if it's Venice exactly, but it's definitely Italy. She would kind of follow them and film them and scream, like, really, really loudly, announce that, attention, pickpocket. I think that the way that she was saying is like, attenzione, pickpocket. That was not good. That did not work at all. Everyone was kind of like, wow, this is so iconic, right? And then it turns out that this bitch is far right politician in Italy, who's, like, very much against immigration and other things like that. And like, when I tell you it's far right, I mean far right. I do. And I thought it was very disappointing, because it was kind of like one of those fun things that became a meme and could have been part of our, like, lexicon for a while. Kind of just like a funny thing that some lady does in Italy, where there's a lot of, you know, pickpocketing going on. But no, we can't have nice things. There always needs to be some kind of fucking thing going on. It's the same situation with Lizzo. So Lizzo, we're all familiar with her now, but I started listening to her such a long time ago, before she even had, like, a full album out. Or I think that she just released her first, like, EP, right? So she was not a big artist yet, and I think that in the popular culture, I've only heard of Anthony Fantano. Is it Anthony? Anthony. The Needle Drop. He's the one who was, like, talking about her a lot when she was just, like, releasing her first bangers, and I absolutely loved her, like, early work. And then when she became very mainstream, I became a bit annoyed, not by her persona or something, because the thing is, I've never seen her perform live. I've never seen videos of her performing live. I've never seen interviews of her. I've never seen any of her videos where she just speaks to the camera, like on TikTok or something. I don't know how that happened, but I kind of completely stopped following her as soon as she became such a big deal. And it's not because I'm allergic to popular things. As we know, I love K-pop shit, and like, as if K-pop is not the biggest thing right now, you know, like, it's not like I'm averse to popular culture, not at all. But I just kind of, I don't know, I just stopped listening, I think, because I started to get annoyed by overplayed songs. And she was one of those artists that got so overplayed to the point where it was just irritating to even hear the first few notes of her songs, you know. So it wasn't like her fault in any shape or form, and I did not think of her in a negative way. And I haven't heard anything about her except for maybe when people were talking about how, oh, she shouldn't lose weight because then she's not going to be a representation for us. And then other people being like, no, she should lose weight, whatever, whatever. So I just only heard that whole weight conversation. And then now a bunch of shit comes out. And that shit is bad, bad. Like, girly really thought, let me be a dickhead for no reason, you know? And it is disappointing. Like, I'm not gonna lie to you. I feel for everyone who is also, you know, overweight or fat and, like, have to deal with seeing a bunch of people thinking that this is kind of like a free pass to being a dickhead to Lizzo in terms of her body. Like, instead of commenting on the things that she's done, and there's a lot. Believe me, there is so much to comment on without bringing in what she looks like. But people still, like, of course, they're gonna try and jump on the whole, like, bandwagon of saying shit about her body and stuff like that, because people just cannot wait to say some shit. It's kind of concerning, to be honest. That whole situation is fucked up. It is crazy that Lizzo, out of all people, decided to fat shame her own dancers and stuff like that. And you know what's always so funny to me is that people in professions that are so far from being important, like people in finance or people who are, you know, in entertainment industries, the way that they treat their work and their workers as if they are working in a very, like, high tension environment that you can't avoid. Like, for example, like being a surgeon, right? Like, there's no way to make that job less stressful in a sense of just like what it is at its core and how much importance you put into what you're doing, because you are so directly related to people's health and lives that it's not a chill job. Like, it's just not, you know. And then there's always some finance bro that is, or some tech person who are constantly acting as if they're putting out fires day in and day out. And the reason why it's so funny, same with entertainment industries, is because, yeah, like, we have created this industry to be annoying, to be so blown out of proportion. This has nothing to do with the reality of how important it is. Specifically, performance stuff and whatever, right? Like, yeah, I do think that you should put in effort. I think you should be worried about how good your performance is. You should be working hard to put on a good show, whatever, because this is your job. You decided to do it. Obviously, it's good for you to take it seriously. But goddamn, the way that they treat it, it's crazy, because Lizzo made everyone feel so on edge, so stressed out in terms of, like, not being able to relax for even a second for 12 hours, 12-hour day, right? That a lot of dancers didn't even go to the bathroom. They wouldn't drink water. And they are dancers. They are doing physical work. They need to be hydrated, right? And even if they're not doing physical job, this is insane regardless. But in this case, it's just absolutely bonkers because they are doing physical work and it's kind of like known that you have to drink more water if you're doing physical work. So her dancers were so stressed out about the whole situation and how she was treating what they were supposed to do that day that they wouldn't go to the bathroom, and one of them literally soiled themselves. That's insane. That's some Bezos level bullshit, like, in terms of evilness. You're literally going to make your employees feel like they cannot even go to the bathroom. Dance alone on that stage if that's how you want to lead your life. Genuinely. Do everything alone, actually. Maybe don't have all of your audio equipment hooked up at all, because I know that you don't know how to fucking do everything and how to set up an entire concert in terms of technology. Just, you know what? Just go on stage and sing to the crowd without a mic. Don't have costumes. Don't have any backtrack music playing. Why would you need that? Just jump around the entire show with your flute. Let everybody else go home so they don't have to be fucking pissing themselves, because you need them to perform at all times. I genuinely don't understand how in what universe you think that your stupid ass performance, when you're singing some stupid ass shit about being like, they're gonna sue me, actually we signed NDAs so no loose lips, or whatever the fuck she's saying. Bitch, are you serious? You really think that your music and your performances are so important that you're going to make people piss themselves just so they don't lose their jobs? Really? It's genuinely insane. And that's kind of the thing that people would bring up in so many work environments, you know, where they're like, don't waste corporate time, don't do this, don't do that. And it's like, why do you fucking care how many hours someone is working if they finish the job that they were supposed to finish within that allocated time? Why do you care? Why do you give a fuck? It's the same kind of thing as like people being like, all those CEOs being like, a little recession is gonna, you know, solve this whole issue with people not wanting to work in an office. And it's like, you know why people don't want to work in an office? Because they don't like being treated like kids. Not even, like, you know what? Even kids who are, you know, could be causing trouble or whatever at school, even they don't deserve to be treated this way, where they have to ask when they can go to the bathroom or act like they're constantly at fault. You know, there's something really strange with the way that our corporate structures and just capitalism in general, the way that it is making everyone feel guilty at all times. Did you notice that? That like at work, there's always this rhetoric of, if you are having coffee at your desk, you are probably not working hard enough. Did you open Facebook for 2 seconds? You're not working hard enough. You're not doing this. That's why your paycheck didn't match the inflation this year. Like, all of it is just bullshit, genuinely. Like, I don't understand why all of these people, including people like Lizzo, think that everyone else is a goddamn idiot. Good for those girls for suing that bitch, honestly. You know what? I would have thought maybe this is just some hearsay, or maybe they're just like, they just want like a penny out of her, whatever, you know, maybe this isn't true. If other people who were working for her, like that director of a documentary who quit 2 weeks in, it was like, I hate this girl, you know, or a bunch of other people wouldn't come out and say that, yeah, she's like a meanie and she is treating other people poorly, people who are for example dancers who gained a bit of weight or whatever. Why do you think that you have the right to love yourself but everybody else doesn't? Where did you get that from? Isn't that I think that the reason why this blew up so much, even though she didn't do something as crazy as all of those men who were like assaulting people or whatever, is because she is, just because of her image, right? Like, let's be real here. Her entire career was built on these women and men and non-binary people, everybody who were kind of like, you know, either in bigger bodies themselves or were allies of fat people, right? Like, it was one or the other, and everyone who was supporting her were in many ways trying to support her identity to be represented in the media, you know? So this is a huge blow to everybody who was supporting her. It's kind of like she spat in their face, right? Because it's not like some information came out that she was mean to some guy who has like, you know, some incel bullshit going on, like was racist towards her or something like that, and she responded or whatever. That would be normal. That would be like on brand for her, right? And it wouldn't be a bad thing. But this, it's like you've been digging in your heels into the backs of people that you stood, like who built your platform. And the thing is, like, there's a lot of people who were saying we should stop glorifying like celebrities, whatever. I mean, I agree, but I don't think that I personally don't really glorify anybody. I don't really have heroes in quotations. But at the same time, even if you're not a super fan of somebody, right, you're still gonna be consuming someone's media or someone's products or whatever the hell. And oftentimes it will be subconscious in terms of like you deciding that you want to support that person, right? I personally know that I am more likely to go to my local small store to get myself some milk than I am to go to a Walmart. And it's just because it falls more in line with what I want to support, right? And it's the same with people, that if I have this kind of image of you, I am more likely to support you than another person. However, it does not like entirely sway my opinion in terms of like consumption of things. If I don't like your music, I'm not gonna be buying your music just because I think that you're a cool person. So I, every time people bring it up, I'm like, I mean, I know, I think that this would be a very relevant topic to talk about in terms of, you know, like the whole celebrity culture, whatever, if we were in like early 2000s, but now who gives a shit? Everyone is a little bit of a celebrity and fame is worth nothing. Who gives a fuck? Genuinely, who gives a fuck? I I think that the last time I saw someone who's famous or who's successful in traditional terms, in capitalist terms, right, and thought to myself, wow, this is so cool, I think the last time when that happened, I was probably 12. Because after that, I was like, oh, wow, I see so many people who worked so hard on like doing multiple jobs, being very smart with their money, with their investments, with everything. They would be living their lives so frugally and still not making it, still not getting anywhere where they want to be, that I was like, oh wow, that's not a reflection of how good of a person you are. How successful you are is not a reflection of who you are as a person at all. You could be the biggest idiot around and have a lot of money. Just look at Paul brothers, the biggest idiots there are, like genuinely. And I mean, there's always going to be someone who's like, well, they did figure out how to make all that money though, so they can't be that stupid. And it's like, you can't be serious. You genuinely cannot be serious. Regardless of what you think, it's just one of those strange things nowadays where I just don't understand why we have to keep saying things like don't idealize people, like celebrities, whatever, every time we find out that a celebrity is like a shitty person. We can be surprised about it regardless of whether they're a celebrity or not. Because if you knew a guy in your neighborhood and he was always nice and was always saying something nice to your little dog when he passes by, whatever, with his little coffee in your little neighborhood, you would be surprised if you found out that this guy has been killing people for the past 10 years and getting away with it. Like, it happens a lot with serials who haven't been caught for years, right? Like, many people go, oh well, some people go, you know, yeah, he was creepy, right? But most of the time people say, oh, he was just really unassuming. He didn't really say much. He was kind of friendly. We know everybody in this neighborhood. Technically, they don't really know anybody, but you know what I mean. And like, you're still going to be surprised. And if someone in your local community or even in your own fucking family, someone has constantly said something that positions them in a particular way, you know, like if they kept on saying things like support, like they're supporting gay rights or something like that, right? And then you find out that behind all of your backs, or not even behind your backs, but like just in their own time when they weren't talking to you, they were actually on some forums planning on how to change the laws to criminalize gay people, for example. You know what I mean? Regardless of knowing someone super well, or like at least you think you know them super well, you never fucking know how well you know somebody, really. It's all based on your belief, and it's quite normal to see someone in the media and think, well, based on what they say, based on the little clips, little snippets that I see, they stand for this, this, and that. That's how our brains work. We just connect things constantly and we fill in the blanks. It's not that deep, to be honest. I don't think it is, genuinely, because most people weren't like walking around thinking that Lizzo is a goddamn god. You know, most people were like, yeah, she's cool. She looks like me. She is singing, dancing. She's in the public eye. She's successful. This is cool. I'd like to see more of that. No one was like, I can bet my life on the fact that she is the best person alive. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, I also forgot to say about Le Sserafim. Can they stop with the remixes of that song? I love that song. But now, after all those remixes, not a single one of them was good. Not a single one. Rina Sawayama, I don't know what the fuck happened since like 2020, maybe 2021. I'm not sure. I think 2020. I don't know what the fuck happened. Did she change her producers? What is she going for? I don't know. But the music is not hitting anymore. And I don't know why they also collaborated with Demi Lovato. Also makes no fucking sense. I mean, I know Demi is like a fan of Chaewon or something like that. At least that's what I've heard. But I do not get the appeal, especially as like the sixth remix in a row. What are we doing here? Why are we doing it? I mean, I understand you want to be on the charts, but at this point you're just making your song less interesting and less desirable, I guess. Like, you don't want to listen to it anymore because it's just like so overplayed and in such weird ways where it's like, well, none of this collaborations make any fucking sense. I mean, all the people that they collaborated with, those people are all breaking rules in their own way. So I don't mean like that they don't fit conceptually, but musically it makes no fucking sense. It just doesn't. I mean, maybe with Rina before 2020 that would make more sense, honestly, because her song Comme des Garçons, that was something similar, I would say. Or like, was it Cherry? I don't remember. I need to go check again. But those songs would make sense. But the way that they made that remix doesn't make any fucking sense at all. I don't understand why. I mean, cool for them that they collaborated. You know, both Rina and Le Sserafim. I like them. But I don't get it. Like, why make so many remixes? I just had a few bites of cake. Carly Rae Jepsen had a new album come out, and I'm obsessed with the song Collage with a K. You guys need to go check it out because, oh, that song is so good. It just like hits, and in a slightly sad, wistful way, makes you feel weirdly nostalgic for experiences that you did not have, you know, that kind of song. It's really, really good. I enjoy a lot. I also did not talk on the podcast about my discovery of Fromis 9, because the thing is, I mean, I've heard of Fromis 9 for a long time, but their music wasn't really doing it for me. Even though it's good quality, it wasn't just like, I don't know, I was just not getting into it. And now they release Unlock My World, and I have tweeted about it, and I think that I talked about it in one of my videos. But that album, the entire thing is like, there's not a single skip. I mean, the last two songs are just not my style, but they're still good. And it's like pretty girl music for the summer, you know? It's like a little bit clickety-clackety, and the vocals are really good. And you just kind of, I don't know, I'm just enjoying it a lot. And I think that you should check it out for the summer. Lana also had a new album, and I'm gonna tell you what, I think this is her best album since NFR. Yeah. And to me, NFR and There's a Tunnel Under Ocean Boulevard, I think both of them are kind of like on the same level to me. And those two are Lana's best works to date, genuinely. And the thing is, I kind of lost my interest in Lana right when she released Ultraviolence. I was out. I would still check in from time to time, but I have already said that before, that I'm not into whole abuse thing, and also just like tolerating men in general. Like, I just don't get it. So in NFR, when she kind of started to have a little bit more self-awareness, and her music also got like to a new level, that really hit But I want to mention her interludes, you know, of that guy who's like some preacher or whatever. He's a preacher for this weird ass mega church. What the fuck is up with North America and just with, you know, with Anglophones in general? Why and how do you guys make corporations out of churches? I mean, churches have always siphoned things out of society in general, out of people, poor people. So churches have always been like a bunch of dickheads, but just like wearing a hat of an institution, you know? I'm just really, really shocked that that's a fucking thing. Why is it a thing? Also, he's just creeping me out. And the fact that this preacher and this church are so intertwined with celebrities and just how weird and hypocritical they are. I don't know. I just get such like bad vibes from that church in terms of just like, I don't know, there's something really gross about them to the point where I do not understand why would Lana do this? I mean, honestly, I don't know why I'm surprised. It's not like Lana is a particularly self-aware person in terms of not her relationships with people that she kind of started to figure out by this time, now that she's in her fucking 30s, but in general it's a little strange. I mean, she's just not getting how these dynamics are strange and why you should maybe think a little before endorsing weird ass preachers with your albums. We could argue that this is just like for the album itself and that this speech in particular is what she wanted to reference, not like his practice overall, whatever. But she goes to that church. She's a part of it. So I don't know, they all creep me out and gross me out. That's fucking weird as shit. Want to be religious? Go ahead. But do you need to make a corporation out of it? Do you need to make weird ass speeches on the stage with like pyrotechnics in the background going off? Do you need to? Weird. Anyway, nice chatting with you. I'll be back next week with another one. Have a good day. Bye.